We've been in a series of messages on the topic of love. And as our sister Elizabeth comes to read for us today, we're looking into the 15th chapter of John's Gospel to learn more about God's love for you and for me. Please stand.
I will be reading John 15, verses 5-14. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Old coins are certainly interesting to look at. And this week I was looking at a 1926 U.S. quarter. And one of the things that's interesting about the quarter from 1926 is that the eagle on the back of the quarter is flying. And it so happened that in 1932 that they began to mint the coins differently so that the eagle was perched instead of flying. And this symbol that we have on these coins that you and I walk around with in our pockets all the time, the symbol of the eagle takes us back to 1782, when in the United States of America we made the eagle the great seal of the United States of America. It's significant to us, this particular image that we see on our coins. Now, I don't have any old coins from the Maccabean period, from anywhere that's even close to BC, but I do know that in the centuries leading up to the birth of Jesus, that in Israel, they had coins that on the back of them were not eagles, but vines. And so this particular image was critically important to people living in Israel, the image of the vine. In fact, we know that there is a huge gold grapevine that adorns the gates of the temple in Jerusalem. And what the Lord, our Savior, tells us in John chapter 15 is significant. Using this image, he says, "I am the true vine." Now, this is the seventh of statements in the Gospel of John in which Jesus says, "I am." In the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." In the eighth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the gate," or in some translations it says door. In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." In the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And this seventh and final expression appears in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Now, this word for true in verse 1 is significant, because what Jesus is letting you know is that with this image that is so important to the people of Israel, that of the vineyard, Jesus says, there are counterfeits. There are vines out there that you don't want to be attached to. But I am the true vine. Those other vines won't bring you life. Those other vines won't bring you love. They create a separation between individuals and Jesus Christ. So in verse 5, of John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. That's what you are. That's what we all are. We are the branches, and Jesus is the vine. He says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And this symbol is a symbol of growth and of fruitfulness. Spiritual growth will result from our being a part of the vine as Jesus' branches. And other people will come into a relationship with God because we are fruitful. 2 weeks ago, over 20 individuals from Mount Washington Baptist Church gathered together in the fellowship hall for the express purpose of learning how to share their faith with other people. And it was a blessing to watch as Nick Gillespie taught people how to use a brochure and to share with others and individuals what the biblical principles were for how to become a follower of Jesus Christ. That's fruitfulness. Now, people who don't remain in Jesus are not thriving. They may be seeking comfort and pleasures in earthly things. They abide in entertainment that has questionable morals. They abide in substances that are illegal. They cheat in relationships. And life for these individuals is disintegrating. It's not growing. It's falling apart. It's not fruitful. You see, God loves us. And God wants our lives to be fruitful. So what does remaining and abiding in Jesus look like if that is the condition for fruitfulness? What do those people look like? Well, they look like people who pray daily, who read God's Word. They participate in worship, perhaps in a Bible study or a small group. They use the gifts that God has given them to serve other people and ultimately find themselves closer and closer to God because of the lifestyles they have chosen. There is growth, but you know what? Growth will take some time, and so you have to be patient with it. When the author Margaret Feinberg was visiting a California vineyard, she discovered what a long-term approach there is to working in the vineyards. Apparently, as she writes, the first year a vintner plants shoots of vines rather than seeds because the yield comes stronger from vines than it does from seeds. At the end of the first growing season, the vintner cuts them all back. As the second year passes, the vintner cuts them back again. Only after the third year does the vintner allow the clusters of grapes to remain. Serious vintners leave those clusters on the vines, she writes. For most vintners, it's not until year four they bring in the first harvest. And what I know from studying this is that it's often after the 10th or 15th year that someone running a vineyard actually begins to make a profit. It takes a long time. And so what they have to do is be patient. The same is true for us. For us to experience fruitfulness in our lives requires patience. We have to allow Jesus to work in us. But remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. What Jesus wants for everyone in this room is for you to have a blessed life, for it to be an abundant life, a life that is marked with joy, with growth, and with love. And that's a huge benefit to remaining in Jesus, isn't it? To be a branch on the vine of Jesus Christ is the best thing in the world. Jesus says in verse 7 of John chapter 15, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. What that verse is indicating is that our prayer lives change when we become followers of Jesus Christ. We have a very different way of praying than non-believers do when they pray. If you're abiding in Jesus, then Jesus' words are in you. People remaining with and abiding with Jesus may ask him about the things going on in their lives and immediately begin to feel that God is at work. One of the most practical things that you can do is have a devotional guide in your hand when you're talking to God, something like The Secret Place or Our Daily Bread. So as you read these verses, you have the verses of God in you as you begin to pray. And these words give us a strong connection to the will of God. If Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 is in your heart when you pray, then I'll tell you something that you will never pray. You will never pray for someone who is mean at your place of employment to get fired. You would never do that because when you read Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it specifically tells you to pray for your enemies, those who persecute you, because God loves them. And so what you'll do instead of praying for them to be fired is that you'll pray for them to change. Do you see the difference? When God's words are in you, you pray differently. And it's because you're going to pray in Jesus' name. When you pray and pray in Jesus' name, which is a command from John chapter 14, it's because you know that Jesus will sign his name to your prayer. And if you know that Jesus would not sign his name to your prayer, then you would not pray that prayer, and it would not be done for you. That's how we are abiding in Jesus Christ. When we receive answers to our prayers, what we want to do after we receive those answers is then share the news with other people. It encourages other people to look to God and to pray with him, the people we work with, our family, our neighbors. We want to tell people how great our God is. So in verse 8 of John chapter 15, we read, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." You know, I can always tell who the UC Bearcat fans are. I can always tell who the Cincinnati Bengals fans are. I can tell by their attire, by the hats they wear and the jackets they wear and the shirts they wear. They're known for their clothing. But the Lord's disciples, according to what we read in John chapter 15, are known for their actions. You know a follower of Jesus by the things that these individuals do. They're serving upstairs in the balcony, helping with the sound and with the video. They're spending time ushering in the church worship services. They're singing in the choir. They're teaching in Sunday school. They're in the prayer room. They're volunteering at the SEM food pantry. They're letting other people know who their God is by their actions, who they're following. And it brings glory unto God when we show ourselves to be his disciples. I know that at least 10 individuals from this church are signed up and preparing even now to participate in the Hunger 5K at Matthew 25 on November the 5th. And this is a sacrifice of their time, their energy, as they arrive early that morning and walk or run for the hungry. It's quite a demonstration of who these individuals are following in their lives. In the 9th verse of John chapter 15, we read, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." You know, one of the ways that God shows us love is that he entrusts us with what is important to him. So what the Father did was he put the Son in places to help and bless other people. What Jesus did was he put the apostles in positions to do the very same thing. What the Holy Spirit does is he puts you and me in positions to show love to other people. So connected to God, we're part of the flow of God's love. And what God says to everyone in this room today is, don't cut the cord. Keep connected to me, because my love will flow from me through you to others. That is the nature of God's love. In verses 10 and 11, we read, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, friends, it's not enough to say, oh, I love God, God loves me, we're all okay. Oh, no, it's way more than that. It's following the commands of God. Loving God means doing life His way and following His word. Now, that may sound confining, but it's not. What it actually does is it brings you greater joy than anything else in the world could ever do. Chief among the commands of God in this scripture passage that we're reading today is to love people. And so in the 12th verse, Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So we have to step back and ask ourselves, how did Jesus love? And the disciples on this night, the night of the Last Supper, knew the answer. You see, Jesus Christ is the example of love. He has worked miracles in the lives of people. He has entered into fellowship with the downtrodden and the outcast. Jesus has helped people to know and experience forgiveness. Jesus has washed the feet of these 12 men. But in the next 24 hours, Jesus would go to the cross and die for our sins. So in the 13th verse of John chapter 15, we read, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. It is the highest standard for love. Now, we may not necessarily die the way Jesus did, but what we sacrifice is that we die to what we want for the sake of others. We do this when we give up for another person. We give up what we'd prefer so that someone else can see Jesus' love in us. Our time, our schedules, our funds, our energy, they may all be sacrificed for the love of God that comes through the vine and reaches the branches. The connection is kept by our love imitating the love of Jesus Christ. Now, the words that Jesus spoke in John chapter 15 were at the night of the Last Supper. As we've said, the next night Jesus was crucified. And after the resurrection, 40 days would pass, and then Jesus ascended into heaven. But not before telling the disciples that they were to be his witnesses. They were to connect people to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the third chapter of the book of Acts that Peter and John were on the way to the temple to pray when they bumped into a man who had been crippled from birth. And Peter said to the man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. You see, when he said in the name of Jesus, Peter made it clear who he was connected to. He was connected to the vine. Do we do our lives in the name of Jesus? It's a good question for us to answer this day. Because of love, they were able to connect a person to Jesus, and so may we. Just as this man was healed, so may others be healed, because we have maintained our connection with the love of God through Jesus Christ, and we share it with the world. Jesus said in the 14th verse of John chapter 15, you are my friends if you do what I command. The Lord didn't say, if you have a few extra minutes today, show love to someone. The Lord didn't say, if it's not too much trouble, show love to someone. No, it's a command. We have to do it. Sometimes it's hard. You know, when Dr. David Livingstone went to Africa in the 19th century to be a missionary, one of the things he discovered was that people did not readily and immediately trust him. He was outside of a village one day talking to an individual about this, and the person said to Dr. Livingstone, what you need to do is you need to cut a covenant with the chief of the tribe in this village. And he said, what does that mean? And he told him, you give up what you have to the chief of the tribe. And then together you agree that you will trust each other and help each other and you will always be at peace one with another from here after. Now, what Livingston did was he looked around at what he had, and the thing that he had was a goat. The goat gave him milk, and it was this goat's milk that was keeping him just a little bit healthy because he was very sickly. And he thought to himself, if I give up this goat, I won't live much longer because I am not healthy. But because of the love that Dr. Livingston had for the African people, he prayerfully and lovingly met with the chief and cut the covenant and gave up this one possession that he had, which was the security of his own health, for the sake of the tribe. And then he discovered something amazing. Once you cut the covenant, once you made the arrangement, you had access to everything that the tribe owned. And that included his goat. He lived for many years sharing the love of God with people who needed to know how much God loved them and what Jesus Christ did for them. You see, dear friends, quarters are not the currency of our faith. No. The currency of our faith is love. Love. When we share God's love, we remain connected to the vine, and others connect with the vine because of you and because of me. So let's make the vineyard larger because we do what Jesus commands. We love one another with the love God has given to you and me. Father, we thank you for your love and pray blessings on your servants this day, that we would love as Jesus loved, sacrificing what we have and what we want for the sake of others, just as Jesus did. In his name we pray, amen. Our concluding hymn is number 347, Be Still My Soul. We descend upon my heart. If there is a need for prayer, please come to the front and one of our deacons or deaconesses will pray with you.